Anyway, so his, like, I talk to dead dads thing seems to be, like, kind of a thing he does, which is kind of weird. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love that we survived the holiday season. Yay!
Yay!
For only audio listeners, I'm doing a round of applause right now. By the way, speaking of, we're on YouTube. Get on YouTube. Yeah, it's 2025, baby.
Come on. Happy New Year, Michael Ann.
Happy
Year of the Snake. Happy we're not going to think about what's happening in just a few short weeks today.
Nope.
We're here. It's 2025. And we are calling this the Getting Back into the Groove episode because we obviously, part of surviving the holidays was taking some time, some much needed time off. I don't think I've introduced myself yet. I'm Bethany, in case you don't know. With me, as always, is Michael Ann. I mean, I kind of said Happy New Year to her, so you probably could have figured out that was her name, but bears repeating. But yes, this is the Getting Back in the Groove episode. We ended off 2024 with a Destin episode. We were going to jump back into Destin, and then we thought we have a lot to discuss. We are two Gabby girls, as we've mentioned before. We've missed out on talking to y'all for the last few weeks, so we just wanted to kind of jump on in. Let's face it, 2025 is probably going to be chaos, so it seems appropriate to start with a chaos episode. But yes, first and foremost, speaking of surviving the holidays, how were your holidays this fine holiday season?
I will say I am very disappointed I wasn't able to go home for Christmas this year, but I don't think I ever said anything about this on the podcast exactly, but my dad got.
Oh no.
That was fucked up, StreamYard.
That really was. She was like really trying to have a deep personal moment, and StreamYard was like, fuck you, Michael.
Seriously. Okay. Well, my dad had cancer this year, but he is done with treatment. He doesn't need surgery. And so this Christmas, everybody was saying that he looked so great and he had such a great time and he's like back to his old self. So I was sad I didn't get to see that, but shout out to my dad.
Yes.
Fuck cancer.
Yeah. Fuck you, cancer. You're the fucking worst. Truly.
Truly. Ugh.
Terrible.
We had a nice Christmas Eve with Andrew's mom and our dogs. And then the 26th is Andrew's birthday. So it's just back to back.
Yeah. And it's your engageiversary. I know people don't like really celebrate engageiversaries because like you celebrate the wedding anniversary if you've been married. But I still always like to give a special shout out to engageiversaries. They're also important days in your life. So yeah, y'all go hard from like December 24th to the new year for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like I went very hard this Christmas break. My motto of Christmas break was, as Taylor Allison Swift once said, jet lag is a choice. And my friend Katie correctly pointed out to me that's easy for her to say because she's rich. And I was like, so true. Jet lag is a choice for the wealthy. Jet lag is also a choice for the unwealthy, but it's a lot harder. So, but I did it. I survived. I did a lot of crazy traveling. My Christmas Eve, Michael Ann just got a little, she got a whole backstory on it pre-recording. It was not the best, to put it mildly. Ooh, that was honestly a great can pop moment.
Topo Chico, lime and mint. Sponsor us.
I am drinking Dr. Pepper right now because I thought it was appropriate. Well, when am I not drinking Dr. Pepper? But yes, I am. But out of a cute little Taylor Swift gum.
So when I went shopping for your Christmas present, I went to a new romance-only bookstore that opened in downtown Charleston.
I love that.
Called Sweeter Than Fiction. Mm. And they also have a bunch of Taylor Swift stuff. And those cups were there. And I was like, ooh, Bethany would like that. And then I was like, how am I going to ship it? And so I'm glad I didn't get it.
Yeah, that would have been tricky. Yes, it was a very Swiftie Christmas. I feel very spoiled in that regard for sure. People know me too well. I want it to be known that let me finish my one thought, I guess. I'm like starting to get into other things. This is, we're getting back.
Welcome back, baby.
Welcome back. But yes, Christmas Eve, sort of a dumpster fire, but I survived. And then Christmas was nice. And then I took a little girls' trip to Helen. The weather left a lot to be desired, but that was lovely. Straight getting back from Helen, I went down to Jack's for a little day trip to visit with some friends. And then finally was like, I'm going to stop traveling because I had done like nonstop card. Like it was crazy, but all worth it. To get to spend some time with family and friends, that's always a plus. But yes, this is how I know people know me too well. I received not one, not two, but three different Florida shirts, as in Taylor Swift Florida shirts. And the first one I requested, so I knew I was getting. The second one I got from my parents, and I was really excited for because it was different than the other one. And I was like, I'm never mad about Florida shirts. I'm literally wearing the second one that I received when I go to meet up with my friend Katie, who looks at me when I walked in, and I was like, oh no, did she get me something related to this? And now she's worried. She's like, opened up your gift. I guess I knew you too well. But it was a completely different one. And I was like, I'm not mad. I will wear all of these. Get me a fourth shirt, truly. I will wear every iteration of Florida shirts that I can find or any merch to do with that song. Truly, I'm not mad about it. So yeah, I was like, I really love that. True, like I received three different Florida shirts for Christmas. And I was happy to get each and every one of them, baby. And you'll be seeing me wear them if you follow us on YouTube. You will be seeing me wear them, I'm sure, as we record this podcast. I'm wearing one of my Taylor Swift Christmas gifts right now, which is a little Eras Tour surprise piano hoodie that, or not hoodie, crew neck that my mom got for me. She did specifically request when we were driving after Christmas that she wanted me to rep some of the stuff she got for me. She's like, I expect to see these on the pod. And I was like, okay. I would have worn it anyways, but I really felt obligated to wear it now because I was like, oh, she's expecting to see these. And I would have worn it anyways. This is very comfy and very cute. So
very cute. Very
cute. That was slay. That was good find, Mom. Good find. I'm happy that apparently I have been told many times I'm very easy to shop for, and I take that as a point of pride.
You definitely are. I actually went to there's this huge flea market in Charleston, and it's all like super trendy Gen Z kids. Like we walked in there and I was like, we're out of our element here. But there was a like vintage 90s UF Gators sweatshirt.
Oh, and I
almost got it for you, but it was in kind of shitty shape, honestly. Mm. And it was not very soft anymore. No, so I was like, oh, I'm going to leave that.
If a sweatshirt isn't soft, then it's like no bueno anymore.
Yeah it's really, I don't. And it was probably like way more money than it should have been considering
how bad. They always like mark things up that you're like, is this really worth what you were asking for? I went to a three-story antique mall when we were in Helen, and I'm telling y'all, like, I could have stayed in there for probably an entire day. It was fascinating. Like every room you're like, oh, there's like, I love an antique mall, and it was just overflowing truly with things. There was a bunch of Barbies, and that is like my favorite thing to look at, like a bunch of old Barbies. Like I love seeing, you're like, ooh, holiday Barbie from 1993.
You're like, I love that.
Different things. There was the Barbie, and I remember this being advertised. I never had it, but I remember this being advertised, and it was like a CD-ROM Barbie, and they had it like incomplete, like the packaging, like it was all the accessories still together, and I was like, well, do I need this? Like, I almost walked out of the store with some Barbies, y'all. I was like, do I need this? I also, as you know, like, when you say your phone is listening to you and like the algorithm always knows, there I was, like me and my sister in this antique mall, just like reminiscing about days of Barbie past and like loving all these Barbies that we're finding. And no lie, the very next day on TikTok, I end up on this guy who's like a Barbie collector. And I was like, I swear, like literally the algorithm always knows. And now I'm like knee deep into like doll collecting videos. And I'm like, how did I end up here? I love that. Fascinating stuff. I'm like, yes. And like, well, how they track these things down, and like, I don't know, it's just crazy. Like I love when people collect shit. Maybe that's because I have like way too many tchotchkes in my house, and so I need to like, you know, validate my feelings towards collecting things. But I
love,
do like,
tchotchkes.
People have like awesome collections and like can tell you about it, and they're clearly very passionate about it. I think that's just like the neatest thing, and I could listen to people talk about that all day.
Yes. I went to a antique museum recently.
Yeah.
In Massachusetts with my mom. And there was an entire room of like military stuff and an entire case of Nazi memorabilia.
Okay.
I was like,
that's something. That's a choice.
Was like, what the fuck? I'm like, I still can't believe that was real. Like, I'm still like, did I really see that? And my mom's like, well, you know, some American soldiers like pulled their stuff off their uniforms after they killed them as like a trophy, which I'm like, whoa. But I'm like, but I mean, I fucking hope that's why. But even then, like, why do you want to resell it? Like, what are you doing?
What are you going to do with, like, is anyone going to buy it?
It was a ton of it. Like a ton of it. I was like, it wasn't just one thing. It was like an entire shelf. It was crazy. I'm like, what Nazi died near here recently?
Yeah, it's very disturbing. You're like, oh, okay. Not what I would expect to see in like an antique place in the state of Massachusetts. But hey, crazy. You know, that is very wild, honestly. Yeah, antiquing. Sometimes you find holiday Barbie. Sometimes you find old Nazi stuff, and you're like, yikes! That's very, very yikes. All right. Let's see. There are certain things that we need to, that probably want to discuss that we have missed out on discussing.
I want to talk about it. The Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni back and forth situation.
Yeah. Yes. Michael and literally texted me over winter break and was like, do we need to host an emergency episode about this? And I was like, maybe. Like, I don't know. Let's back up for a second. So obviously when this original stuff went down, we discussed it a little bit on the podcast. I don't even remember exactly what we said, but like to show that we are not immune to propaganda, we're not immune to PR. Like we were on the like, oh my God, like Blake Lively is really digging herself a grave kind of like train. And I'm also going to say that you know, a lot of narratives have come out about like everyone always wants her to be a perfect victim. Like there is no perfect victim. Like I don't think that Blake Lively is the most amazing person ever, to be clear. But yeah, obviously this like crazy back and forth has been fascinating. It's also such a great look, I think, into like PR and media literacy and a bunch of stuff like that. And again, how like no one is immune to it. And it's just, yeah, it's been fascinating the back and forth and like people, and it really is like, you know, that old adage, like whoever speaks last, like kind of like gets the final word, because it was like, okay, everyone kind of had their mind made up on the, about what the situation was. And, you know, Blake Lively was the devil and whatever. And then she comes out and everyone's like, oh my God, like we had this all wrong. And now Justin Baldoni's come out again. And everyone's like, but did we get it wrong again? And like, honestly, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, but yeah, like it is just crazy how much I have seen people flip back and forth on this matter. And I'm like, just because certain things have come forward in either direction, like it doesn't make the other thing not true. Like my biggest pet peeve in this entire situation has been the like I am pumping text and how people think that suddenly that means that she clearly welcomed them all the time coming into her trailer in states of undress. And I'm like, how does a woman saying like, yeah, I'm not doing anything right now, I'm pumping, equate to she was okay with them walking in on her breastfeeding? Because I don't think that it does. And again, like, I think if you're saying I'm pumping to someone in a text message, it's probably to like warn them like, hey, I might be in states of undress. Like, I'm not doing anything, but like knock before you come over, my dude. Or again, like not to think that that means so that they would come over right away. But anyways, this one text I have been getting really heated about because the fact that people are like, well, clearly she's been caught in the lie and it was okay that he came over to her trailer. And I'm like, and what, how? How did her one time texting like, oh, I'm not doing anything right now, like come over whenever, I'm just pumping, equate to please come over to my trailer like when I'm in various states of undress? I don't know. But break it down for us, Michael.
So we all know what happened during the press tour. Nobody was talking to Justin Baldoni. Nobody was talking about Justin Baldoni. I will never forget when interviewers would ask them questions directly about Justin Baldoni, how they would navigate around that completely. Like Jenny Slate was like, oh my gosh, I would never do what he did. I would never be both an actor and a director. Like, that's crazy. Anyway, and it was like, that didn't answer the question. But so that happened. Okay. And I will say, like, I am very much on the I think both of these people suck kind of thing because, like, oh, I forgot what I was saying. Anyway. Oh, because, like, very valid things came out about Blake Lively during that time. Yeah. Like not fake shit, like real stuff. Like, you know, again, we revisited her plantation wedding. She had that all, like, old self, weird, like, romanticizing antebellum times thing. Like, she has a lot of it.
It's always, like, when you're in the middle of, like, really making a point or something, your mic's like, screw you. This is Trump's America, I guess, you know? We can't make valid points.
It is Donald Trump's America, almost.
Almost, unfortunately. Can we all just pour one out for Jimmy Carter, though, for being a real one last time and making it so where we will have the flags at half-mast at least? Thanks, Jimmy. You truly respect, sir. Respect to you.
His last gift to us.
Yeah.
So, then... Blake Lively. Now, Blake Lively isn't suing Justin Baldoni. This was simply a complaint, a file. Mm-hmm. It was like something in California where you have to like file permission to sue or something. So it was like that document. And she has all these texts, and it was 80 pages long. She's got all these text messages of Justin Baldoni talking to his PR person about like destroying Blank at the media and blah, blah, blah. And then a bunch of sexual harassment stuff is in there too. Like, she and other weird shit, like that he was like telling her that he was in contact with her dead father a lot. And like, which I found out that's a trend for him.
Oh, okay. That is very weird. I'm but very
put a pin in that because we'll get there. but. So there's all this sexual harassment stuff. Like, he was walking in on her in the trailer. He was fat shaming her, I think. He was showing her naked pictures of women. I think he showed her a video of his wife giving birth, like something crazy like that as well. Like, it was all this crazy stuff. So then the internet's like, whoa, what have we done here?
And again, I think there's a lot of people who take umbrage with things that Blake Lively has done that is very like valid. Yeah. Like you said, like, she's not a perfect person. This is not like, we're here to like defend her good name kind of thing, but also like, you know, that doesn't mean that shit didn't happen to her.
Exactly. And it might have, I mean, this guy's fucking weird. So this is stewing, while this complaint that she filed is stewing, a bunch of stuff on the internet comes out. I watched his, Justin Baldoni's video where he proposes to his wife. I couldn't even get through the whole thing.
Oh, it's so cringy. I wanted to die.
Cringy. I think it's in that video or it's something around that video where he is like, it was the proposal video. He goes to his fiance's dead father's grave and pretends to talk to him and videotapes it.
Yeah, I did not make it that far because I had to tap out from the secondhand embarrassment.
It's crazy. And then he's like, I talked to your dad and like we have his blessing. And it's like, first of all, no, who didn't? So anyway, so his like, I talked to dead dads thing seems to be like kind of a thing he does, which is kind of weird. He also is like shady as fuck. Like, he is just a super shady guy. In my opinion, like he's got creepy, he's a man in Hollywood, and that's really the crux of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's really the crux of it. So anyway.
I do think anytime a guy is, like, tooting his own horn too much about, like, how good of a guy he is, it is always a red flag. How feminist he is. Yeah. A lot of people are comparing it to, like, the Joss Whedon situation, and I was like, yes, that is so valid. Like, it is always, like, this guy who's, like, the good guy and such a feminist and a self-proclaimed feminist or whatever. Again, I'm not saying that. Like, the takeaway from this isn't, oh, I hope that a bunch of men don't identify as feminists anymore. Because, like, obviously, no.
Right.
Like, I obviously want, you know, everyone to be a feminist. But, yeah, like, sometimes when people are just, like, really kind of, like, tooting their own horn too much about, like, what a feminist they are, this, that, and the other thing, it's always, like, a little bit of a red flag. Because you're like, I don't know. It's giving me the ick a little bit.
Yeah. When you're a man who's publicly out there talking about being a feminist, that... it's definitely a red flag because you're like, well, are you? Or are you using this like Brad Pitt?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Brad Pitt. Speaking of abusive people in Hollywood. And we all hated fucking Angelina Jolie. Why? Oh, do you see Zuki's little sweater?
Aw, look at you, handsome boy.
Aww. Got little dinosaurs. See, guys, get on the YouTube.
This is what you're missing out on being on the YouTube. Hi, Andrew. Bye, Andrew.
Back on track. So, then, Justin Baldoni countersues, basically. Well, not countersues, because she didn't sue, but he sues not only Blake Lively, but I think he's suing, like, the production company and, like, the Sony, I think, and, like a bunch of...
So, from my understanding, he is only suing the New York Times, technically. Like, he is not suing any of them. Because they have not, like, technically done any... Like, she wrote this, like, letter, you know? And, like, theoretically, that... Well, I mean, depending on what state you live in, that can be public or not public, whatever. But he's suing the New York Times for basically, like, defamation and libel because, like, they published this letter and are, like, hurting, like, you know, his reputation or whatever, like, his name. So from my understanding, he is technically not suing her. He is suing the New York Times, which you're going to lose because no one ever sees the New York Times and wins. So good luck with that. But again, mostly I think he is suing the New York Times just so he can, quote unquote, get his side of the story out, like, publicized, you know?
Yeah. And his side of the story, see, and, like, this is a thing. Like, I can believe that both of these things happened. I can believe that Justin Baldoni was a fucking weird creep who creeped Blake out and made Ryan Reynolds show up to set and be like, how about you fucking don't do this to my wife? Right. But I can also see Blake being like, I want this movie, and her and Ryan using all of their influence and their power to arm him out, which, looking at the text messages that he shared in his lawsuit, it does kind of seem like that's what happened. Yeah. If those text messages are real, because there's text messages with him and a couple of the other editors where they're talking about how they're straight up not allowed to see the final cut. They're not allowed to see Blake's cut. They've been, like, completely pushed out. Sony was telling them, like, sorry, like, you can't see it, whatever. And I can see that because, again,
they can simultaneously be true. Like, I do think that Blake Lively obviously comes from a lot of privilege and obviously has a lot of money on her side and is more famous than he is and could kind of get her way with the studio because the studio probably was, like, way more excited about the project when she signed on, right? They're like, oh, it's now a Blake Lively vehicle. Like, we can sell it like that. And we have, you know, like, her and Ryan Reynolds' names kind of, like, associated with it. So I think all of that can simultaneously be true with the fact that this guy is, like, a creepo weirdo and, you know, probably was being a creepo weirdo on set. Because, again, like, everyone in the cast really does not seem to like him. And, like, that there has to be a valid reason for that. And, yeah, I read some of the text messages they're talking about him and the editors, but I also, like, see that as being, which, like, justifiably I can see him being upset about it, but I also can just see, again, if you're, like, this guy who, like, really thinks that you're, like, this paragon of, like, I want to make this movie because I want to discuss the issue and whatever, being, like, so upset that this woman, like, came in and took, like, control of it. And again, I think it's valid that, like, it is bullshit that the director and the editors literally were, like, locked out of editing the film that they were signed on to edit and direct, but yeah, like, everyone sees that and is like, see, Blake is the one in the wrong here. And I was like, yeah, that was wrong. But that doesn't mean necessarily that, like, everything he did is right, like, either, you know? So, yeah, it's just the whole thing is like, and again, all of this, y'all, for a Colleen Hoover adaptation.
Right.
This movie is not worth it.
Of all authors, Colleen Hoover. Are you kidding?
And also, I have been enjoying, like, obviously there's, like, actual serious allegations going around here, and I don't want to take that lightly. Like, sexual harassment in the workplace is not only an ongoing issue in Hollywood. Again, just because the Me Too movement happened and Harvey Weinstein was taken down doesn't mean that it's still not currently happening every day in Hollywood. I'm certain it is, and it's happening in workplaces all over the world. Obviously, we are two women. We can attest to that. We worked in the service industry, so we know all about sexual harassment. But with that said, some of this, like, some of it is just, like, fascinating. But also, like, some of it is, like, kind of funny stuff to me. And you know how we like a good, like, non-harmful conspiracy theory? Well, I also love the parts that's, like, not harmful in this, like, whole, like, he said, she said situation, which is the wardrobe stuff. I have been living for that because it's, like, so unserious, but so entertaining to me. Like, I love the back and forth on this mother effing wardrobe for, again, this stupid Colleen Hoover, like, book adaptation movie. That they made. And honestly, like, that poor, like, wardrobe department, because, like, they were wronged here, because the choices, like, Lively was making are hideous.
Hideous. And, like, there's that text in the lawsuit that's, like, Blake being like, I think we should push for the beanie, like, it makes it sexier. And somebody on TikTok, like, showed a picture of the outfit that she's referring to, and it's like, what? Yeah. Like,
what about this beanie made this outfit sexy? I also have all the people that are like, she would be mocked in Boston for walking around like that. And
are you, kidding?
Michael Ann as a Boston native.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine walking around Boston looking like that?
No.
I literally am like, are you crazy? Okay, so I'm going to show, I'll put it on the screen as well. But this is the outfit.
This is the outfit. Yeah, when I see that, I just think, man, that beanie really ups the ante on the sex appeal.
She's got two pairs of pants on.
Bizarre. Everything about her outfit choices in this film is very bizarre.
It's, and you can see, like, there was a creator that was talking about this, and she was saying, like, you can see based on these outfits that Blake chose that she had, like, swing in that,
yeah,
like, people were like, oh, we're not gonna tell her no, we're just gonna let her do whatever she wants,
right? Because exactly,
she's Blake Lively. Yeah. Or because Ryan Reynolds is like,
yeah, no.
I can imagine Ryan Reynolds being, like, kind of scary. He's, like, very famous. He's very famous.
I would not want to feel like I had, like, wronged him, because I would feel like, with the, like, the money and the power that he has, that he could come after me. But, yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is just wild. It's a lot of the things, again, from, like, his end are very disturbing. And I do think it is important, though, to, like, bring these things to light, because, again, I really feel like, you know, everyone was so annoyed by the Me Too movement, which, like, I can't understand. But everyone's like, okay, we get it. You know, we've cleaned it up. That's how. It's the same thing as, like, you know, again, like, with priests in the Catholic Church. It's like, we exposed a few of them, and everyone's like, okay, we've taken care of this problem. And it's like, have we? So I feel like people just get so sick and tired of hearing about things after a while. And it's still happening, and it still needs to be discussed until it's completely eradicated. And, you know, obviously, yeah, it is crazy how, like, you know, which obviously some of the texts are like, oh, well, they were doctored because this emoji was taken out or whatever. And it's like, okay, whatever. But, like, you know, the text from the PR company, which, again, this is the same PR company that worked with Johnny Depp and during the Amber Heard case and whatever. So obviously they're kind of already on my shit list, but, you know, saying, like, it's just so easy. Like, people are just waiting around to hate on women, essentially. And it's so true. Like, I was thinking about, you know, obviously, when the original press came out, I do think a lot of the choices that Blake was saying and doing were bizarre. But obviously, it was a lot studio mandated. The whole wear your florals thing, like, clearly, like, that's a Sony thing, you know, whatever. Like, you can't fault her for saying that. And, you know, they've kind of proven now, like, look, like, this person had this on this website before she ever said it. Like, it was clearly something the studio put out. Again, because everyone, at the end of the day, they're all money-hungry people who want to make money. Universal straight up, you know, admitted, like, after the success of Barbie and the way that everyone, like, showed up to wear their pink and their Barbie ensembles to Barbie, like, we started really pushing, okay, like, wear pink and green and show up to go see, you know, Wicked and whatever. So, like, some of it is obviously very, like, you know, comes naturally, but also, like, again, we are always being promoted to, like, these studios at the end of the day want to make money. Like, all they care about is their bottom line. All they care about is profit. So anyways, I was just thinking, again, kind of using Wicked and It Ends With Us promo and stuff, like, you really, like, can't ever get it right as a female. Like, no matter how you promote your movie, how whatever, like, Blake Lively was getting shit on for saying wear your florals and doing tie-ins with her hair care line and her, you know, alcohol brand, which I did think was bizarre. The hair care thing, we already kind of discussed this prior. That one I never faulted her on, because that was pre-planned when that was coming out and the movie got pushed back. So she was never supposed to be promoting them at the same time. It just happened. And I was like, that's not really on her. The alcohol one, I don't know. Think that's weird. Don't like it. Rubs me the wrong way. But again, everyone at the end of the day is just trying to make a buck, right? But like, yeah. She basically got shit on for how she was promoting this. Then Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo come out, and this is a dream role for them. They're like crying in every interview, this and the other thing. And they're getting shit on for what they're doing. And Ariana Grande keeps getting all these videos about what's going on with your voice, which I'm not going to lie, are entertaining. But like, you can't get it right. Like, you, no matter what you do, like, they're mad at you. Like, I'm thinking about like when the, you know, like big YA boom happened after Harry Potter. And then you have Twilight come out and everyone's like, Kristen Stewart never smiles. Kristen Stewart doesn't do this. Da, 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 da. And then everyone's like, Jennifer Lawrence is such a breath of fresh air when The Hunger Games. Oh, she's so different than that Kristen Stewart we had to watch for years. And then all of a sudden everyone turned on her and they're like, she's trying too hard to be related. Like, you just can't get it right no matter what you're doing. So it's like, some of it really is just people are waiting to hate on women. Like, no matter what you do, they're going to be mad at you for how you promote your movie or how you do this. So I don't know. You're just like, damned if you do, damned if you don't, I guess. But still don't have plantation weddings. Okay, thanks.
Speaking of Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Ariana Grande fan. Her music is amazing. Her performance in Wicked was unbelievable. But, you know, she's problematic, of course.
Yeah.
She licked those donuts. But those donuts.
Ah, I will never be over it.
Her boyfriend, his ex-wife. Oh, yeah,
that's another thing that, like, came out while we were on break. Yes. Oh, man, I segued us so beautifully into this.
You really did.
That was intentional.
Okay. What was her name? Because in my head, I keep saying Lily
Dr. Jane. Dr. Lily J, I believe is her name.
So, Lily J came out for the first time with an essay that I can't read because I am not a member. I don't pay for it. So that's great. Yeah. But she came out with an essay basically about like, hey, this is my perspective of my husband leaving me after I gave birth to his child for Ariana Grande. And it's powerful. I mean, she's like, I never expected to be in this position. Like, I can't believe I didn't see this happening. Like, basically, she moved her entire family over to England for him to do this movie postpartum. She was really struggling. And, you know, he left her for an extremely rich and famous person, which I don't even know what I would do. They were high school sweethearts, and she had literally just had his kid.
Yeah. 2 months after she had this child, she moves over to a whole nother country with this child to, like, help support her husband, help him follow his dreams, and this is what happens. Cannot imagine. And again, as we've stated, and we love Wicked, it's phenomenal. I've seen it twice in theaters. I've like looked up all the deleted scenes. I think I'm gonna buy it, but I'm very getting back into like physical media because like digital media kind of stresses me out now because you just never know when they're gonna take it away from you. So I think I might wait until February when it comes out on like physical media. I mean, I totally intend to own it. I want to watch all the commentaries. You know, there's Cynthia Ariana commentary, whatever. So obviously we are two girlies who loved Wicked, whatever. But yeah, with that said, whatever kind of like timeline, blah, 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 that like Ethan Slater and Ariana Grande are trying to sell, I don't buy it. Like I know for a fact that, that clearly some things went down. And again, like, I love Wicked and I love all the tie-ins and whatever, but like this poor woman, which she like states in the article, like we all know, like you could not escape promotional material for this movie. And can you imagine just being like reminded of like the worst thing that's happened in your life, like over and over again? Terrible. So feel for her. And yeah, like she was never someone who was like in the spotlight. She's a therapist and now she's a therapist and like people kind of know her business. And like, I just can't imagine that. Like, that's like just so tricky. And I just really feel for her. And I just can't. I mean, like I can believe that something like this would happen, but I also just like can't believe doing that to someone, you know?
And another layer to this is when Ariana Grande's most recent album came out, I didn't really listen to it because I was like, these songs are crazy if she's talking about her situation she's in right now. And yeah. then I like gave it some time. And then like after Wicked came out, I was like, let me revisit that album. Maybe it wasn't that bad. No, it's that bad. Like, yeah. it's good. Banger after banger after banger. But if you're really listening to the words and you know the situation, it's like, what world are you living in?
Exactly. Yeah. That's just, and I just can't imagine, like, yeah, like they both, again, I'm not saying I don't want like things to, I guess, work out for them, but like, can you imagine, like, you put all these, like, you have involved so many people in this now, like, you've hurt so many people, like, ding ding, y'all better work out, because if not, like, what was all that for, you know? I don't even think it like is worth it if they stay together, but like, I just, what a weird, and like, why, I've never understood people that get in relationships with people, like, when it started with cheating, because I'm like, what makes you think that they won't turn around and do that to you? Like, you know how your relationship started, you know? So that just always, I don't know, boggles my mind. But yeah, we, my mom, over our little girl's trip, we took my mom and my nieces to see it for the first time. My sister and I had already seen Wicked, and we kind of like spilled the beans on the situation before going in of whatever. And she was just like, this guy left his wife and his like 2-month-old baby. And I was like, yeah. Again, I don't know if he was like 2 months old when it happened, but like, that's when they moved over there to start the filming of the movie. But yeah, so it is just a weird, taints certain things for sure.
Yeah, it's not good. It does. It's not a good look for Ariana. I'll say that.
No.
It's not a good look for Ethan either. I mean, Jesus.
No. And especially because this is his first role that's, like, thrusting him into the spotlight. Like, Ariana, like, already, like, she already has her fans. She already has a big name. Like, I don't think this is going to be as damaging to her reputation as his. Because, like, this is how we're meeting you, my dude. Because, again, most people aren't privy to who he was before this movie. So, yeah.
And it's just, right. Yeah. Right. And, like, Ariana has some loyal fans. You know, there's always those, like, very insanely loyal. I say, like, I'm not literally obsessed with Taylor Swift, but
I'm wearing behind me, what I'm drinking out of.
You can't see it.
Those loyal fan bases, y'all. Let me tell you.
This is a TTPD sweater. You just can't tell.
I'm just on camera. In this lighting.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's black on black, but but yeah, so I mean, her career will be fraught, especially because like right after all of this drama and everything, like she pulled out this performance. Like if she sucked in that movie, everyone would be able to more easily.
But
now like, everyone's like, it's okay.
Admittedly, she's phenomenal in the film. I feel like people are like willing to overlook the like personal stuff. Yeah, it is awkward. I'm like, and it's so annoying because like I personally think she has been very likable on this press tour, and I'm just like, oh, but like I know, like, oh, just, it's so weird. Like on one hand, I'm like laughing at her because I'm like, that's a funny thing to say, and I'm like, oh my god, she's so phenomenal in this movie, and then on the other hand, I'm like. So it's complicated. I have complicated feelings about it, for sure.
Same. But I, you know, whatever. Good luck to Dr. Lily J. Yes. And
yeah, we feel
free whatever to comes to the other two. Yeah. I guess. Yes. I think they'll stay together.
I also don't think so.
I think Cynthia Erivo's longtime partner also cheated on her wife with Cynthia Erivo.
Oh, this is, wow.
I believe I read that. Oh, here's their complete relationship timeline. They met in 2018. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that there was some suspicious crossover with them too, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And then... You know what else happened while we were out? Jay-Z and P. Diddy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, what?
Yep. That, okay. Things with the P. Diddy Kate. Like, it is never ending. Like, you think you're like, all right, all that we know it all. All the bad stuff is out there. And then it just, like, constantly gets worse and more disturbing. And I would like it to stop, please.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. And one of the people who is suing Diddy for raping her when she was 13, in that lawsuit, there was another unnamed male celebrity and another unnamed female celebrity. And the person, this anonymous person filing this lawsuit, named the other actor or other famous person as Jay-Z. And Jay-Z is spiraling. He like put out this fucking weird ass message on Instagram where he didn't even necessarily deny the allegations. He was just like, how dare you do this to me? And the evidence is damning.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know what to tell you, Beyonce.
Yeah.
But girl. Beyonce was 15 when they met, and he was 29. So,
you know, there might be a history. It's a trend. Yeah. It seems to be something that he's, yeah. Yeah. It's not good. And none of it's looking good. Yeah. I honestly, when he did his Instagram post, I was like, oh, is this like his Kanye spiral? Because, like, you know, we all were kind of like, oh, Kanye is looking a little bad right now. And then he just like really started like spiraling. And I was like, oh, is Jay-Z about to like go on like a spiral? Like, is he about to like really go off the deep end? So I don't know. But yeah, the Diddy thing, the Jay-Z of it all, the more I find out, the more I am disturbed.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. And Jay-Z's lawyers are now trying to claim that him and P. Diddy are not friends. They're just co-workers, which is laughable.
Interesting. That's an interesting. Like, this is their defense. They're like, no. They just work together. They weren't. No,
they're not friends. They haven't been friends since the early 90s.
Yeah. Like, what? This is
notably documented very well.
Yeah. Do they act like they aren't two people that have been in the public eye for decades and we know their history?
Right. It's not like these are strangers.
We've seen
like,
it. They are public figures. Like, they have been famous for a very long time. Yeah.
But that,
I don't even know.
All that like straw grasping really makes me think like,
yeah,
sounds like you're pretty guilty and you're flailing. But
yeah.
He tried to like counter sue, I guess, to like force the woman accusing them of this to release her name because she's anonymous. So he like sued to like try to force that to happen. Why would that do anything useful so that she can be harassed? But that got thrown out. The judge was like, nah. So yeah, pretty fucking crazy though. I mean, the celebrities have been celebrity-ing.
Holiday season, yeah, this is a very, I was like, man, it's kind of like a downer. Like, I mean, I want to discuss all of these things, obviously, but like, it's kind of a downer. But I was like, you know what, that seems appropriate for this year. Yeah. Okay, yeah, we had celebrities, all this different celebrity drama going on. None of it good. Again, a lot of it juicy, I don't even want to say. I mean, like, well, that seems kind of icky, but like, interesting, I guess, fascinating in a weird way. The Blake Lively, Justin Bieber, anything, obviously, it's been going on now for a while. And the last couple of weeks, it's really heated up. And I was just like, yeah, we have to discuss this because we kind of opened Pandora's box discussing it before. So we like have to, I just want to discuss it with you, honestly. Even if no one was listening, I would have hopped on this chat and been like, we have to discuss this.
I know.
But yeah, like it's just, it has been a time. Obviously, 2025. I remember when we wrapped up 2023, let's time travel a little bit. It's the first one of this year, everyone. But when we wrapped that up, we were like, oh, like, usually we're not, like, sad about year's ending, but, like, what a, like, great year it was. And I truly felt that, like, 2023 was just, like, such a great year. 2024, I was kind of doing my own, like, self-reflection as it was wrapping up. And I was like, it was such a mixed bag. Like, I had some of my best moments in 2024. Like, obviously, like, we had such a great time, you know, going to Sweden. Y'all thought we were done talking about it. Just because it's a new year doesn't mean we're done. Never. You know, like, there were so many great moments. I really felt like I found myself more at home in the new place I live in. Like, I've really kind of started to put down some roots here. I've built some friendships here, and, like, that's really great. So there was, like, so many great things. Wicked was phenomenal. But also 2024 was just, like, a year about stressing out about the election and this and the other thing. Like, there were so many other things going on. And I was, like, obviously, like, terrified to come into 2025 and then to literally wake up to the news that, like, there had already been, like, a terror attack and this and anything. And I was like, we are just really starting off this year. Great. Awesome. So it has been, yeah, it's scary times out there, and the world is a crazy place. And yeah, like, sometimes I do just want to turn off my brain or whatever. But the world won't let me, because then the pity, I can't even talk. The P. Diddy and the Jay-Z stuff comes out, and I'm like, well, I have to know. I mean, I don't have to know, but it like, you know, these are people, again, we grew up listening to their music, and it is very disheartening to, like, find these things out, you know? And, like, you feel like you, like, I guess, I don't know, not trusted these people, but, like, kind of. And then all this comes out, and you're like, God, that's terrible. But yeah, I'm just trying to find some light in the darkness, I guess. I have decided to, I wasn't sure. I was like, oh my God, I want to be that person. But I was like, I'm going to, because literally 2025 is just very daunting for me. It's very terrifying. I'm trying to get myself little things to look forward to. I do have, like a little concert thing we're going to at the end of this month. And I have, I'm going to a Metallica show with my husband, which I'm very excited for, because, like, that is, again, like I was saying earlier, I love when people are passionate about things. I love when you get to, like, get a little, you know, view into their passion. So to go get to do that with him is gonna be really exciting. I'm very excited to scream into the woods with a lovely group of ladies in the spring. But yeah, but I just felt like I didn't have, like, a really big exciting thing to look forward to this year. Like, obviously going into 2024, we had the Sweden trip and, you know, and all that stuff. And so I was like, oh, like, what, you know, what am I going to do to keep myself sane in 2025? And just planning these little sprinkles of trips and whatnot in where I can is, I feel like, going to help me. But I've also decided I'm going to keep my Christmas tree up year round, because fuck it. Because the world is a dark, shitty place. And I'm going to find joy where I can. And I was like, it's literally a Taylor Swift tree. I can just theme it to every holiday. Like, hello, Valentine's Day, lover. March, I can do a little The Lucky One. We're doing a little St. Patty's theme. It's cruel summer for the summer to, like, come on, hello. All I got, like, I was like, I'm doing it. I'm just retheming my tree all year round and it's staying up. That is what is bringing me joy right now. And I know it's a really silly, dumb little thing, but I was like, the thought of, like, getting to, like, change it up a little bit for Valentine's Day legitimately brought me joy the other day, and not much is right now. So find your little pink tree in your life, I guess, is my. I don't know. I guess that's my New Year's resolution. I'm not really big in New Year's resolutions, but I think it's just to, like, find little joys where I can, because everything just seems daunting all the time right now. Yeah, that's a wrap. We're back in the groove, guys. We're back. Along with us as we discuss Sarah Dessen and other millennial joys, and come scream in the woods with us or whatever. Whatever you want to do, whatever joy you find. To get you through this hellhole. I have a little tradition starting back when I first learned of this song. I don't know, probably almost close to a decade now. The Mountain Goat song, this year, every year on, like, the first day I drive to work of the new year, which back when I was working in hospitality was, like, the new year. It was New Year's Day. This year I thankfully was off because I have a job now that affords me that. But I was back on the second, and I always put that on the first day. And going back into work in the new year, and the chorus is like, I'm going to make it through this year if it kills me. And I really felt that in my heart and soul this year. I know it's a downer, but, like, that is why I always put it on. Like, that is, like, my mindset is, like, I'm going to make it, like, no matter what, we're going to do it. So thank you, I guess, to the Mountain Goats for that. And thank you to John Green, who is the person who first introduced me to the Mountain Goats. They are a great band. All the way back in, like, whatever, 2012, when I probably first discovered them, because I read The Fault in Our Stars in one sitting. We were all there. We all remember it.
We all did that.
We all did that. Let's be honest. Crying in our rooms at 3 a.m. And then we're like, what's this about this guy? And then we went down a whole rabbit hole. But anywho, yes, I don't know where I wish I had an elegant, quaint way to wrap up this episode. But basically, we're back. We're here. We're still hating Spinnerbait. And I hope you all enjoyed our just like dump of us talking about weird celebrity shit that happened while we were on break that just we really wanted to talk about.
Yep.
It had to be discussed.
It had to be discussed. There is something else I learned about. I'm not going to start talking about it, but just to wrap it up on something that's lighter. There is another thing that I got really invested in over the Christmas break, and that was whatever the fuck's happening with Grace O'Malley and Brianna Chicken Fry, two people I didn't even know existed until last month.
Now she's down the rabbit hole.
And Now I know everything. Now I follow Grace. I'm like a huge Grace fan now. She's from Boston. She's like super funny. I'm like, you know what? Actually, I love her. But I wish I didn't know who Brianna Chicken Fry was. But unfortunately, I disassociate on the internet. So.
So, yeah, same. They have, the rabbit holes, the TikTok rabbit holes, which please stay around TikTok, because what will I do to disassociate 2025 if I don't have TikTok to rabbit holes to go down? But yeah, truly, in like the 3 weeks we were off, the amount of TikTok rabbit holes that I went down could be a whole episode, but nobody needs to hear that. So, I mean, y'all heard a little bit about the good doll collecting one. You don't need to hear anymore. So we're going to leave it at that. Oh,
we're done.
One more thing. Slightly exciting news that had happened to me while I was on break. I am finally, for the first time in my 7-year career, a fantasy football champion. So y'all are talking to a champion. In one of my leagues, at least. We won't discuss where I place in the other ones. No, they're not that bad. I placed 3rd and 7th in 2 of my other leagues. But I'm finally a champion. I was legitimately so stressed out. And again, this is a thing that doesn't actually matter at all in life. But again, you have to find the little sparks of joy where you can. And I was excited to potentially win one finally. So I'm happy that I did. That and my little pink tree are the things that are getting me by right now.
Hell yeah.
Let us go. Sponsor us, Dr. Pepper. New Year, same request. Sponsor us, Dr. Pepper. All right. That is all for now. Take care of yourselves, everyone. We will be back this week. Obviously, we're switching it up a little bit. We'll be back on Thursday to discuss Destin, and then we'll go back to our like regularly scheduled programming. And also don't forget that we are doing kind of like bi-weekly chaos, I believe, is what we agreed upon. So you won't be getting chaos of reconvening that bi-weekly. So you're getting it this week. Congrats. And the next time we'll be back with Destin and then going back with our normally scheduled programming for there. Okay. Bye.
Bye.